All right, Cecil, that will do. Don't apologize to me. It was my mistake. It is a question between ideals, yours and mine. Pure abstract ideals, and yours are the nobler. I was bound up in the old vicious notions, and all the time you were splendid and new. His voice broke. I must actually thank you for what you've done, for showing me what I really am. Solemnly, I thank you for showing me a true woman. Will you shake hands?
Of course I will, said Lucy, twisting up her other hand in the curtains. Good night, Cecil. Goodbye. I'm sorry about it. Thank you very much for your gentleness. Let me light your candle, shall I?
They went into the hall. Thank you. Good night again.
God bless you, Lucy.
Goodbye, Cecil. She watched him steal upstairs. On the landing, he paused, strong in his renunciation, and gave her a look of memorable beauty. For all his culture, Cecil was an ascetic at heart, and nothing in his love became him like the leaving of it. She could never marry. In the tumult of her soul, that stood firm. Cecil believed in her. She must someday believe in herself. She must be one of the women whom she had praised so eloquently, who care for liberty and not for men. She must forget that George loved her, that George had been thinking through her and gained her this honourable release, that George had gone away into the darkness. She put out the lamp. It did not do to think, nor, for the matter of that, to feel. She gave up trying to understand herself, and joined the vast armies of the benighted, who follow neither the heart nor the brain, and march to their destiny by catchwords. The armies are full of pleasant and pious folk, but they have yielded to the only enemy that matters, the enemy within. Lucy entered this army when she pretended to George that she did not love him, and pretended to Cecil that she loved no one. The night received her, as it had received Miss Bartlett 30 years before. Mr. Beebe was bicycling over to Windy Ridge this Monday afternoon with a piece of gossip. He had heard from the Miss Allens. These admirable ladies, since they could not go to Sissy Villa, had changed their plans. They were going to Greece instead.
"Since Florence did my poor sister so much good," wrote Miss Catherine, "we do not see why we should not try Athens this winter."
And the letter went on to say, "I do not expect we shall go any further than Athens, but if you knew of a really comfortable pensione at Constantinople, we should be so grateful." Lucy would enjoy this letter, and the smile with which Mr. Beebe greeted Windy Corner was partly for her. Ignorant of the events of yesterday, he was only riding over to get some tea, to see his niece, and to observe whether Miss Honeychurch saw anything beautiful in the desire of two old ladies to visit Athens. A carriage was drawn up outside Windy Corner, and just as he caught sight of the house, it started, bowled up the drive, and stopped abruptly when it reached the main road. Therefore it must be the horse, who always expected people to walk up the hill in case they tired him. The door opened obediently, and two men emerged, whom Mr. Beebe recognised as Cecil and Freddy. They were an odd couple to go driving, but he saw a trunk beside the coachman's legs. Cecil, who wore a bowler, must be going away, while Freddy was seeing him to the station. They walked rapidly, taking the short cuts, and reached the summit while the carriage was still pursuing the windings of the road.